Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church. We are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with the man, the myth, the legend, the supplier of tobacco goods.
This is true.
Captain.
This is true.
Jack Berry.
Mm-hmm.
Jack, my friend, it is good to see you.
It's good to see you again, Josh.
I believe I am still recovering from the excellence of the last time we hung out, my friend. You made the journey from T-Town up north, and I kind of met you in the middle.
Yeah,
we went to a cigar lounge, and I think you and I talked from about 3:30 till 11:15.
It felt like that. Yeah,
we were in that lounge from, I mean, you got there before I did.
Yeah.
I got there early because I locked myself out of the office at work, and I was like, well, it's Friday. But I got down there at probably 3:30, upon which you gave me an excellent birthday present. And by that, I mean
straight cash, baby.
Some straight cash money, dude. Some cold hard cash. And you sent me into the to the humidor like a kid in a candy store. Say, here, kid, get yourself something nice.
Well, I mean, it kind of helped too that you had Brandon from Apostate there, who was doling out the deals that day too.
He was. Yeah, buy a bundle, get three, get five, dude. It was a good night.
And then on top of it, yeah. I hate to be cigar nerdy people, but He gave us this little cigarillo.
Unreleased.
I can't remember the name. I know it's a niche name. Did you figure out the name of this?
I haven't yet. It's some robbers. It's some, dude, like, it's some Book of Mormon reference, dude, because they came out of Mormonism. And they just consistently crap on Mormonism with every cigar that they release.
It's so great. He gave us this little cigarillo that was like all the chopped up tobacco from all the other leftover Apostate cigars.
Wrapped in a Brazilian
wrapper. Dude, that stuff, Josh and I were talking about it. Everything about that cigarillo makes me want them even more, because there's a level.
Oh, yeah.
I hate to go into cigar talk, like really early, but there's a level of nostalgia.
Yeah.
When you're retrohaling, retrohaling basically means you don't inhale cigars, or else you're going to die.
Yeah.
Okay. It's going to be an early night.
Yeah.
You push the smoke up into your nasal cavity.
Yeah.
And press it out your nose.
And you blow it out your nose. Yeah.
And then that's what gives you a lot of the flavor too.
Yeah.
On top of it.
Yeah.
And that stuff tasted,
dude.
If there have been any like financially unfortunate kids, like most people I know in the 90s.
Jack and I do. Okay. Hold on. Before you share this, I want to give a backstory. Okay? Jack and I are trying this. We're trying this. This might as well just be the cigar of the.
This is true.
This will be an honorable mention.
Yeah.
Cigar of the week. Jack and I are trying this new cigarillo that Brandon gave us. He's like, hey, try this unreleased. We're going to start putting these in tins. And we're like, okay, I'm smoking them. I retrohale it. And I look at Jack and I said, you need to retrohale this right now and tell me what it tastes like. All right. And Jack and I were on the exact same page because we both had very similar upbringings. Yeah. We both said it tastes the exact same. And all right, Jack, go and
taste exactly like when you were a kid, when you didn't have the fancy Cinnamon Toast bread.
Right.
But you had to take that Wonder white bread.
Yeah.
Put the butter on it, put the sugar and the cinnamon on top of it and taste it. It tasted exactly like that.
It tasted like cinnamon sugar bread
dude, that you make.
It was so good.
Yeah. I'm buying those.
Oh, 100%.
I am absolutely going to be that guy at work that steps out for about 5 minutes.
You're going to be with all the other cigarette smokers, and you're just going to be smoking your super boutique, super boutique bougie cigarillo.
Oh my gosh. Dude, I'll take that.
Yeah, it was a good night. It was an early birthday kind of get together for me. I just wanted to hang out with my guy. We were going to go see Gladiator. Right? Yeah. Which I'm still going to go see. It's on my list. Hopefully this week, maybe next. But then I got a text from the owner of the lounge saying, hey, Brandon from Apostate is going to be at the lounge on Friday. And he's doing a little cut and light event. And I texted it to Jack and I'm like, dude, do we just ditch the movie and do this? And we were unanimous. Like, yes, absolutely. That's what we do. So it was pretty great. It was an awesome night. We stayed quite late. You probably didn't get home till close to 1.
12:30-ish.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The I-5 was really easy going down south.
Dude,
all the state troopers were pulling over people.
Oh, 100%.
Ton of DUIs, dude. Ton of DUIs.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they're out in force, dude. Holiday week, man. They're catching all the college kids coming home from but it was a good time. You were definitely, you know, we joke about it, but definitely the cigars were on Jack this go around. You filled my humidor up. Mm-hmm. And I am grateful for you, sir. Thank you.
Well, your employee discount kind of helped that too.
It does.
I just gave you a little grant, a little push in the right direction, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. It was awesome. Well, Jack, we're going to this is just a little Thanksgiving special, man. This releases on Thanksgiving. So whether, you know, I want to know, first off, I think we asked this last year, comment in, you know, on the socials somewhere, wherever you see the socials for this podcast. Let us know if you're one of the few, the tried and true that listened to this Thanksgiving ep on Thanksgiving. I want to know who's making the reformatory priority and listening to this on Thanksgiving. but we're going to just do a little short Thanksgiving ep, and we'll be back to regularly scheduled programming next week. Yeah, I call it cliche, but we're going to talk about what it is about our local churches that we're thankful for. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, Thanksgiving is kind of the set aside time to focus on thankfulness, right? That's kind of what our country says it's for, right? Mm-hmm. But our local churches should be something that we're constantly thanking the Lord for and investing in. Obviously, that's why this podcast exists. So we're going to just kind of go back and forth. I've got a bunch of stuff in my head, just things and individuals that I'm really thankful for in my local church that, that just make this year, I would say, even more so than other years, really special, just because of the relationships that I have right now in the local church. So, Jack, I want to throw it to you first as you think about your local church and the things that come to mind that you you thank the Lord for, the things that, about your church that bring you joy. What are some of those things for you, man?
I think one of them is our pastoral team. Like, I think that might be cliche to some people, but honestly, in this day of age where you see a lot of pastors in the spotlight for disqualifying sin issues and stuff like that, or really not living up to the qualifications of elder, I think our pastors are really doing something very counter to that, which is being transparent with the congregation, edifying, always there to basically lend an ear. You don't have to go through mediaries in order to make a meeting with our pastors. I think the way in which they serve and shepherd our congregation is something that I'm thankful for. I guess just really the culture of our church as well too. I've been in churches where it seems very individualistic. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, your local church may talk a lot about how you're focused on the congregational dynamic, the family of God dynamic, but it doesn't play out like that. And I can honestly say, since attending and becoming a member at my local church that I'm at now, over, what was it, 3 years ago-ish, something around there.
Yeah.
Because they honestly, it was a very big paradigm shift, which was helpful during the time of COVID, where I felt like the church that I was at was just kind of blowing in the wind. Didn't really know what was going on. The lead pastor was just all over the place. And then on top of it, I had friends who were pastors in that church that were really trying to nail things down, and there was a lot of pushback. And so that I've never seen that dynamic before happen on our church. Now, it could have happened. I wasn't there forever, but since I've been attending, even in times where we had somewhat, I wouldn't even say controversies, but just like things that you deal with in every kind of local church, of either, you know, certain members maybe sinning in a certain way and not repenting or not wanting to repent.
Sure.
Restoring members back from discipline, church discipline, stuff like that. There are things like that I'm thankful for, that our gospel doctrine leads into a gospel culture, and our gospel doctrine just doesn't stop. It keeps going. And it shows a lot with the dynamics of the congregation and how the congregation takes care of each other, and how, there's just that dynamic that happens that is more familial versus individualistic.
Yeah.
And I would say like a last one is just like an emphasis on training up leaders within the local church too. I think that we talk a lot about that, and it's only because we talk a lot about it because it happens in our local church. Mm-hmm. Like, Josh and I come from local churches where that stuff's happening. We don't just say it. It is happening, because I'm a part of what's called, in my local church, Pastors and Leaders Institute, where we train up either men who have already been in a time of leadership and train them up, and it's a time of also prayer too. So we're not going through just theology books and kind of talking about stuff and thinking through stuff, but we're also taking that time to pray through if a time of leadership is upon, you know, some of the men in the local local group of Pastors and Leaders Institute. So just really thankful for times where we can get together and talk about very personal, difficult stuff sometimes. And it'd be a time of edification, and it'd be a time of reminding each other of the gospel, and that, you know, the pastors of the church are there for them and similar men their age are there for him as well too. So yeah, I think those are three primary things I can think about lately that I'm thankful for in my local church. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And all those, I mean, cliche or not, those are important. I mean, those are, you don't understand, I think, how honestly non-cliche those things are until you've experienced life without them.
Yeah.
Very true. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think those are really real and good things to be thankful for, because both you and I have experienced church and life in the local church without those things being a reality.
Yeah.
Right. And it's hard. It's hard.
Yeah.
And it's not the way it's supposed to be, but it's often the way that it is. And that's a hard thing to come to grasps with, I think, when you're in it. So yeah, a lot of mine echo yours as well. Like I'm part of an elder team that I can honestly say is the healthiest, most joy-filled elder team that I have been a part of. Not that I haven't had, you know, moments or good relationships with individuals that I have led with in the past, but as a whole, this elder team at Redeemer that I have the blessing to serve along with it has been such a life-giving and joy-filled experience for me, especially coming from some pretty bad experiences in the local church, right?
Yep.
You know, the Lord has been really gracious to kind of give me a real tangible experience to show that, you know, there are teams out there, there are elder teams out there that are not dysfunctional, right? And that and that disagreement does not automatically equal disunity, right? And when there is disagreement, there's just a different mentality with how we work through things, and honestly, why we work through things, right?
Yeah.
That's not something I've been used. I'm used to in the local church, and it's taken some adjustment for sure. Because I think, you know, your red flags kind of go up at when you're faced with similar situations. And the Lord has proven again and again and again that although those flags go up for me and almost that those walls go up, that defense mechanism, almost like, oh, you know, oh, I've been here before. I know how this has gone. Yeah. The Lord's been super gracious to show me like, yeah, you have been here before, but here's how it's going to be different for you this time. And it's just a testament, you know, ultimately to God's grace, but just the character of the other elders that I work with, David, Colton, and Andrew, and just the blessing that all of them are individually for me in providing just that space that is, it's rooted in something that's not temporary. Like we are unified in our desires and our commitment to the local church. And it's just been a blessing. It's been a blessing to serve along these guys. My prayer is that I'll be serving along with them for years and years and years, if the Lord should tarry and give me that blessing. Can say the same for the deacons also. Like, we have two deacons and then one that is in candidacy right now, they're great men, good friends. Love their families, love the Lord, love the church. And it's just another testament to God's grace in having people in those positions where I'm not used to them, as trite as it sounds, I'm not used to them being competent. I'm not used to them having the desire for the work, right? Yeah. That's huge. That's huge. So I'm thankful for it, man. Like it's a really big thing. It's a really big thing.
Yeah, just to piggyback off of one thing, what you talked about, friendship. Mm-hmm. I think that's so important.
It is. Yeah.
And when I talk about gospel culture, a lot of it revolves around friendship. Mm-hmm. Because at previous churches I've been a part of, it's not friendship, mm-hmm. especially on an elder team. It's most likely, it feels like you're just a bunch of CEOs or VPs coming together
right.
to deal with business, and that's it.
Yeah.
And I honestly feel like in our church culture, the elders have always been and always have had a culture of friendship. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, it's kind of spilled over into friendship with the deacons,
yeah.
other men and friendships, and that kind of, you know, it keeps snowballing that way.
Yeah.
So I think that's like super important.
It's huge
that you talked about friendship, because most people, they don't think of it that way. And it wreaks so much havoc when you mm-hmm. don't have an elder team that has a culture of friendship.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you firsthand how bad that can turn out.
Well,
so
we've talked about that so much on the podcast,
yeah.
the importance of the elders being friends. And we saw that importance, like we saw that difference in the importance through COVID.
Yeah.
Right. The elder teams that held together through COVID, they were friends. Mm-hmm. They had friendships that bound them together, not just the office.
Yeah.
Right. You're 100% right. It's massively important. Like it needs to be there.
Yeah.
And that's something that, again, I'm not used to. Mm. But just like you said, man, like it's, I truly believe the longer that I'm in ministry, the more bad situations I experience, and now some good ones. Like one of the main differences there is that friendship dynamic. Mm. I think it can make or break an elder team, man. I really think it can. I really do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for my church. I'm thankful for just the relationships that are there. Got the young adults group that I get to do, the counseling that I get to do, and just the ways that I see the Lord working in the lives of our people. And honestly, like one of the most encouraging things for me is that our church, and I think it's probably the same with yours, you can probably attest to it also, like our people are in each other's homes like so much. Like it's a rarity for me to go over to someone's house and not see or hear of, oh yeah, so and so from the church was just here. Oh, I'm getting together with them today. Or, you know, it's they're so integrated in each other's lives in a way that creates a dynamic in the church that truly, truly feels like that unity that we were talking about last week.
Yeah.
You know, it's deeper than blood and soil. Mm-hmm. It's a unity that goes beyond human understanding and human definition.
Yeah.
That it comes from Christ. And my church, thanks be to God, has that. And it's extremely encouraging. And that's it's something that I love about it, man.
Yeah, there's a lot of growing families in our church. And so there's a couple just in our community group that just had their first kid. Mm-hmm. And there's couples that we know of that have either two-ish, one and a half-ish year olds, two and a half-ish year olds, basically kids within like a year or two around my son's age.
Yeah.
Who's like a year and a half. And that dynamic breeds a lot of ladies getting together and fellowshipping more and kind of unifying that way. Mm-hmm. So that's something I never saw before a lot in other churches that I see very organically happening.
Yeah.
That's very encouraging to me versus it had to take like a committee in order to put that together at previous churches, you know, for that stuff to happen. So yeah, it just goes back to the dynamics of gospel culture happening in our local church and people gathering up together. And like we always talk about, like, as much as you can, try and, if you can't gather together in person, the most that you can do is gather together in ones or twos or threes.
Right.
And start building kind of those little kind of similar DNA, kind of smaller community group dynamics as well, too, to kind of strengthen those bonds. So, yeah.
Yeah, man. No, absolutely. Absolutely. I think, a lot to be thankful for there. I want to give a few shout outs. We crap on Twitter a lot because, frankly, it's mostly bad, but I do want to give some shout outs to some encouraging people that I have found on that site, and how the Lord even uses the faithfulness and the kindness of his saints that aren't part of your church to bring encouragement to you. And I have been encouraged by individuals. And my suggestion is, if you want to stay on social media, unfollow the drama and follow people that are encouraging. Right. Yeah. I'm thinking of people like, I'm just going to scroll through kind of like the private messages that I have of encouraging stuff. Darren Caldwell, dude, Darren, it's just at Darren Caldwell on Twitter. I love the dude. He's so encouraging. I hope to meet him someday. I really do. Reverend Rudy. All right. As much as he makes fun of Jack
as
and
much
I,
as he gives us crap about our for not credo
baptizing
Baptist.
Babies. 100%. Just hugely, hugely, hugely encouraging. Jeff Wisner. Mm-hmm. Dude, putting out some great, great stuff. Matthew Statler is a counselor on Twitter. Hugely encouraging. Chris Haller. Pat Abernath from the Pactum. Mm-hmm. Listener of the podcast and frequent encourager. Dennis. I'm gonna try to say your last name, Dennis. Hannabarger. It's either Hannabarger or Hannabarger, one of the two. I don't know if the G is a hard G or not, but Dennis, he's always super encouraging too. Mm-hmm. So there's like, you know, the Lord can bring people into your life even online that bring encouragement. And here's the thing, the OGs know. Jack and I met online. Jack and I first interacted with each other online. That online relationship turned into an in-person relationship that sparked into this crazy podcast that we have now. So you never know what the Lord can do. Like my wife is often makes fun of me. She's like, Josh, you're the only person that I know that actually has real friendships online. And that like actually turns online interactions to real friendships. I'm thankful that the Lord brings those people into our life. So Jack, any last words before we close this Thanksgiving special, my friend?
Whew, I don't know. I guess the other thing that I'm thankful for is that the interaction that you give us here on the podcast. And how much, it might seem insignificant to say that and cliche to say that as well too, but, it does, it encourages us to know that you're investing in your local church, and that's the way how the Lord designed it. He wants you to be a part of that local church, for that local church to be a part of your kind of central spiritual nervous system, so to say, in order that you would be edified and built up and equipped. And so we're just thankful for the time that you give us to listen to two ruffians talk about the local church and how it's important to your life in Christ and your Christian walk throughout this life. So that's the final thought for me.
There it is. One more special shout out. And the reason I didn't mention him is because I was going through like my Twitter DMs and he didn't come to mind. Well, this brother actually calls me. He calls me.
Yeah.
And we all know who I'm talking about. Yeah. Talk about Mr. Ed. Mr. Ed, dude. Ed Romine. Ed's a very dear brother. And haven't met anyone that I could say honestly say is more encouraging than Ed. Many are close, but Ed is an extremely encouraging brother, and one that relationship and interaction strictly online. And then we exchange phone numbers, and he calls me, and he encourages me, and he gives me updates of some of our previous members that since moved to Utah that moved to his church. I got them hooked up with Ed, and he gives me updates of how they're doing, and it's a joy to my heart. So, my friends, happy Thanksgiving. Jack, why don't you, before I give the final salutes, why don't you get us out of here, my friend?
Yeah, if you appreciate Josh and I's continuance to talk about the importance of the local church and the believer's life here on the Reformatory, you can follow us on the sociables, if you will. Yes, you can follow us on the Metaverse or the Facebook. The Instantgram goes well with chocolate or marshmallow, or the always dastardly former sociable known as Twitter X, if you will, all at the tag at Reformatory Pod. Josh, you can tell the ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how they might see the Reformatory or be able to support our endeavors to make the local church central in other ways.
That's right. We're going to run through these rapid fire because we all got turkey to eat. All right. We're on YouTube. All right. Search the Reformatory Podcast. Like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications. We'd appreciate that. If you're on Spotify or Apple, you can rate this podcast and review this podcast. We ask that you do that. That'd be fantastic. Link in the description of this episode. We have shirts. Amazing designs. Looks really, really cool. We have a new shirt that just dropped. Christmas. It's a Christmas shirt, people. You click the link in this episode, you're going to see it there. It's Charles Spurgeon looking absolutely fly. I'm just saying, get your Christmas shirt for the holidays. Link in the description of this episode. Click the link. Get onto our Amazon store. Buy some merch. That would be fantastic. Last but not least, we have a Patreon. If you're on the Patreon, you get bonus eps. You get this episode early. You get first crack at any new merch or anything like that. Exclusive Reformatory chat where we do cigar reviews, movie reviews, like, you know, whatever we want to talk about in that chat. It's happening. It's a lot of fun. And if you do that, it's $5 a month for a $5 holla, less than a peppermint spice latte. That's not a thing.
Peppermint mocha.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. But like, what's the holiday drink at Starbucks? Peppermint mocha is one of them.
Peppermint mocha.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
It's something. I'm thinking something else. But anyway, what Jack just said. Okay. For a $5 holla, you too could become a Patreon supporter, and your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of this podcast. That is our pledge to you. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Hope the turkey is delicious. Hope the conversation is even better. And above all, thank the Lord for his grace and the salvation that we have through Christ. Thank the Lord for your local church family. And I hope that you are interacting with one another through this holiday. So we love you all. Thank you all for listening. We'll catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.